This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hola, buenos dias. This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Welcome to this episode, which is part two, or rather day two, from Magic Cuba. This episode is brought to you by our friend Eric Citron, the proprietor of theperfecttrick.com. Next week, beginning on November the 20th, 2018, they're going to begin their 80% off discount. It's on many items that are on their website. I don't know how to tell you. You just need to go and check it out. It's going to be fantastic, and it's going to be, again, going on at theperfecttrick.com. Go check it out, and you're going to save a lot of money. So just trust me on that one. You can go to theperfecttrick.com, or you can just go to themagicwordpodcast.com, and there you'll see a link. Go to it that way. So it's something that you got to see in order to believe. Anyhow, this episode today is the second day update, and one of the things I wanted to point out is that this is not like your usual convention. I've had some people already ask me about how many dealers were there. Well, that's not what this was about. There were no dealers there. In fact, the performers, I should say, those who were the presenters, were not even giving a traditional type of lecture. And none of them ever once mentioned that they had something for sale or that you can go to the website and purchase something. They didn't have anything that they brought with them to sell. It was nothing like that. And moreover, although there were probably about 140 people who were registered for the convention, when you stop and think about it, many of the people who had attended had brought friends and neighbors along. So in other words, that there might be a magician who was bringing his spouse and then maybe a daughter or son, as well as the next door neighbors or some other relatives. So when it came down to, you know, just boiling down to the number of sheer magicians in the presentations or the lectures, there probably weren't but about maybe 30 people. So in total, there may have only been just that small number of actual magicians who were in attendance at the lecture. So it was a very intimate type of an occasion. So anyhow, sorry you missed it, but I hope that you enjoy these updates each day. So please enjoy day two of Magic Cuba.
Magic Cuba, yeah.
Well, good morning. This is Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and it is actually day two. Day one was yesterday. We had a lot of really interesting things. Everybody was coming in and getting situated and had a wonderful evening. We'll talk about that a little bit more here in a moment, but I gave a wrap-up last night of what all went on. Then today we're going to be just loaded up the buses, and we're on our way then to Old Havana, where we take a little strolling tour, and then we have some other stuff happening later this afternoon. We have lunch and the all-inclusive package with all this. You include all of your meals and some drinks and everything, and the shuttles, etc. But we are heading then to downtown, where we will, after lunch, then come back for 3 o'clock, and I believe Eric Mead's going to be lecturing. But one of the people who's a friend of mine and that I would like to actually talk with in more detail at some later time is winner of the Dunninger Award, yeah. Was it? Yeah, that's right. Joey the Sea.
No, I'm sorry.
Milbourne Christopher Award, that's right. Joey the Sea, Joey Cursillo. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning. Scott, it's the first time I've ever been interviewed on a bus, but I'm okay.
Well, you know, I do elevator chats also. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because they're shorter.
I've done elevators, I've done Skype, never a bus. This okay. Is good.
So, what was it that had you want to register for this convention?
Well, I've probably been a cigar aficionado a lot longer than I care to admit. Yeah. So the lore of Cuba was always in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. And when someone combined my three favorite things of cigars, rum, and magic all in one, I went, there's no choice here.
And you even performed then last night.
Yes. Yeah. And then when Stetson said, you're performing at a rum and cigar dinner, I said, yeah, that seems to fit. So
you're speaking my name.
That's right. Yes.
It seemed like last night went a little bit longer than what was expected.
Well, yeah, that's because I think everything ran on Cuban Standard Time, and everybody was expecting American time.
Yeah. Much more relaxed.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, at one point, I know that I looked into the kitchen, and we were all waiting for an entree, and the staff was eating. So, yeah, that's kind of, I call it Sicilian Standard Time as well, so, yeah.
And so, is this your first time in Cuba?
First time in Cuba, never been here before, so that's off the bucket list, and now I'm here.
Yeah.
Yes.
First time caller, long time listener.
Yep.
Okay. And so, was it the appeal of the location, or the talent, or everything, or what was it?
Well, I think at first it was the location, but then... when I started to watch the talent lineup, it was stellar. And I thought, you know what? It's got to be there. Got to go do this.
Yeah, yeah. So. And so were you one of the early registrants?
No, actually, well, I committed to Stetson in the very beginning. I told him I'd register. I just drug my feet sending in the money for a while because I was busy.
Yeah, yeah.
And but he knew I was coming. So.
Which is interesting, too, because that you had recently retired to do this full-time.
Yeah, I quit the practice of law in January, and now I'm on full-time on the road and having fun.
Yeah. I want to get into that, and so people who are listening to this now, we'll get into a longer conversation with Joey and hear more about his life, and because he's got some very interesting tales to talk about how his journey led him here, and it will be inspirational to a lot of you guys, and also, so there are several of us who have had other careers and then launched into full-time professional magicians as opposed to being the other way around. And people try to be a professional and they don't get the salary they want, so they go into the work world or whatever, but it was kind of the way around that we did.
Absolutely, yeah, doing it on the back end. And there was, we'll talk about that later, because there was a real science to what I did.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and me too. That's why I really want to get into all this. But I'm excited. We know, the talent is really great, and they kept adding more and more names. It's kind of like I think everybody said, I want to be part of this, because I don't know if they're going to do this again.
Well, and frankly, looking at the list of talent and looking at everybody around, I think the nice part about this is there are so many power hitters here, but it is such a small, intimate group that we are, we're among everybody, and it just rocks.
Yeah. So. Anything in particular, I'll just leave with this, that you might be, I mean, you're looking forward to everything, but is there something in particular you want to see or do or hear?
No, I think everything across the board is pretty much equal. I looked at it, there's not one thing I can tell you I want to blow off.
Right.
So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, there are a few things that are competing with each other, in which I'm taking some other walking tours, some side tours, which I thought were going to be at a different time, but unfortunately it's overlapping.
Yeah, and I haven't noticed that yet because I don't look at the schedule till the last second because that causes me stress.
We got enough stress in our lives, don't need more.
I just wait till something comes up and go do it.
That was Joey the Sea, and this is day two from Havana, Cuba. Scotty out.
Magic Cuba,
all right, so we have, we're kind of on the bus and we're kind of showing us around a few places. We just got out for a few moments, literally, to go and see a guy do some rice bowls, and magician, then got back on the bus.
And Professor's Nightmare. Done as beautiful as I've ever seen it.
Yes. And I have with me Mr. Shep Hyken. Hi there, Shep.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great, and you said that you were like the first to sign up, right?
They told me I was the first, you know, when they announced that they were having this. My wife got the postcard, and she says, we're going. End of story.
So you're here.
And I'm here with my wife, my daughter, and two friends.
That's great. Yeah, and they're not magicians.
No, they're not. They just they love magic, and they just wanted to come,
to Cuba,
and experience
cool to
the culture and see some magic.
Get a little bit of Shep.
And meet you.
Yeah. So we were at the same table last
night. We were. And in the same bus. And now we're wearing the same clothes.
Clothing. That's right.
It's very weird. If you see people are talking about us.
I'll post the picture then later. So, what was I going to ask you about?
The show last night.
The show last night. Thank you. Because we were delayed, which was kind of funny. I was just talking to Joey the Sea. Joey was saying that he peeked into the kitchen. They had not served our main course yet. And the staff was back there eating dinner in the kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Rather than serving us.
Welcome to Cuba.
That's right. So, anyhow. That's why we were late. So afterwards, about midnight, I went back up the room, and you went over to Club Rojo. Tell me about the show.
Yes, we went to the magic show at the club. It was a beautiful club, big stage. Walked in, and the first thing I noticed were wonderful illusions. I saw the zigzag. I saw,
really?
Oh, it looks like a spiker illusion.
Wow.
It looks like, is that a crystal box of sorts? It was a phenomenal show. It's exactly what we needed at midnight or a little bit later. By the way, everybody got mojitos as we walked in the door. There was no charge. This is pretty. It's all part of the inclusive thing.
It's a heck of a
which
deal.
Is a pretty unbelievable deal.
I don't
deal.
Think people realize how good of a deal this really is because of meals, drinks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, if you keep drinking those mojitos, you're going to drink your way into your fee.
I'm almost there already.
So anyway, the show.
That's pretty.
super, super high energy. So we're all tired from this wonderful
meal. And there were Cuban magicians mainly?
Cuban magicians. Okay. The gentleman came out at the very beginning, kind of MC, and he spoke both Spanish and English. But it was a very short intro. Everything was to music. Phenomenal illusionist, high energy. It's exactly what we needed for a show where everybody was tired toward the end of the night after traveling, many of us traveling that day to get in.
That's true. That's why I'm kind of surprised you spent the evening or midnight.
Yeah,
you know,
I had to pay them to go with me.
Okay.
No, and you know what? They're glad they did. And what's funny is it's like they said. I said, when's the show going to start? Now. That was when we walked in. So 15 minutes later, we're going, when's the show going to start? So I said to my friend, you look tired. She goes, I've got to go to bed. I said, at 5 minutes, we leave if they haven't started the show. And at 4 minutes, I said, 4 minutes, 3 minutes. And then the lights went down. And it was really not only great music, well choreographed. The magician, the main guy, I don't remember his name. He didn't really speak much. Phenomenal, just the presence. He had three women assistants, two men assistants, and it was just a great high energy illusion show.
And how many magicians altogether were on? And how long did it last? Like a 45-minute hour show or what?
Yeah, I'd say it was so good I didn't even pay attention
to
the time.
That's
how good it was. It was not a long show.
Yeah,
I would say it was probably about a 40-minute show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow, that is a beautiful view over there.
Yeah, so here we are in Cuba.
Day.
We're in a bus doing this podcast. And and around us, there's water. There's it's phenomenal.
And all these old cars, these 50s.
Oh,
Chevys.
My God.
Is
so
that cool or what?
That's the first thing we did. My daughter and I, we went to dinner on the first night, just her and I. We rented a convertible. We didn't rent. We chartered a driver to take us. And he kind of drove us around in this 52 Ford something. Last night we had a Thunderbird that held a big, huge convertible Thunderbird. Oh, my gosh. And there's an Edsel. I mean, you see all kinds of cars. It's amazing.
It is great.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to shut this down for a little bit while he explains a little bit of kind of where we're going over here. And there is a lot to see, and it's a very old city. And I don't know what this wall is over there, but it's part of it.
This was built in the 1700s. It's a huge fortress, and as the this is what protected Cuba from the rest of the world, I guess.
Now with the Spanish...
The Revolution.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. This is huge. I believe this is the largest fortress of its kind in all of Latin America.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm not a tour guide, but I play one on TV. We're walking.
And you dress like one. Don't we? Okay. All righty. And so that was Shep Hyken with just a little bit on what's going on. And until later, from somewhere else here in Havana, that was Shep Hyken. Scotty out.
Magic Cuba. Magic Cuba,
Hello, this is Scott Wells from the MagicWordPodcast.com, and it's been a busy day since this morning. I was talking with Joey the Sea, and now we're back on a bus again, but we've been at lunch, went on a tour and everything, but I'm here with Bill Herz for a minute. Hey there, Bill.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Fantastic. So, what did you do today? I was on the tour this afternoon. Were you on walking tour?
I did the walking tour. I was on the walking tour, and then I hosted the close-up session with a bunch of the... Thank you very much.
And I got Shep Hyken over here, too, in the background, kind of in the peanut gallery. Hey, Shep.
Hello!
Shep's always in the background. That's pretty much it. Now it's dinner, and then on to the Beach.
Now, tell me, how was the close-up session?
Oh, we had some of the Cuban magicians who are terrific. You know, they don't
ball and cone.
Oh, do you see it also?
Without music was really impressive.
Did you do that? Were you with
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he made the music disappear.
Yeah, we had a little technical issue, but he handled it like a pro. It was really good. Yeah.
Did you see the Eric Mead lecture?
I saw part of it, but, you know, Tim Conover, which, I mean, Eric has really done the great job on the book, was one of my closest friends for 15, 20 years. I was kind of responsible for his...
I thought I was your closest friend for 15 or 20 years.
It was 15 or 20 years after that.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Now, Timmy, well, Eric did a great job.
Yes.
And I'm excited about the book.
Yeah.
Are you excited? What was your favorite Tim Conover trick?
He had a lot of great tricks. I'm going to have to say his dollar bill change.
The ones to the fives to the tens to the fifties to the hundreds. I mean, blow you away.
My favorite was still the thing with the folded handkerchief, you know, with the shot gas in it.
Shot glass.
And he taught that today.
I know.
Yeah.
He talked about that at Magic Live also.
Right, right. Yeah. He did the same lecture, basically.
I saw Tim do it for audiences and blow it away probably 500 times.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
So you could do his act, huh?
I could. You know, Tim was unbelievable. I mean, it was an amazing... I remember doing a big corporate event with tons of magicians. And after the words, at 3 o'clock in the morning, everybody just sat around and watched Tim work for literally 3 hours straight and just fooling the hell out of everybody.
Would you consider him to be like the U.S. version of a Juan Tamarez?
Yeah.
From the standpoint of magician enthrallment and ability, I mean, he really... unbelievable, and his excitement level, and he jumps up and down.
Yes,
and
yes, but I would disagree with Eric on one thing, is that Tim was very, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And I disagree with that to a degree.
What does that mean? What do you mean, a right way and a wrong way? Of doing it, or what?
Yeah. In other words,
performing it, or the actual, okay.
Both. And, I mean...
Is this where we talk about Eric's?
No.
No, keep it on Tim.
No, but I mean, a lot of people, I mean, Tim would say, the move has got to be done this way. As where a lot of people say, you know, if you fool the person with a move, that's fine. And that wasn't Tim's way. Tim was very, very by the book, which was, I mean, and I think it's great, but he had very, very strict ways of, you know, if this is how Slidini did it, this is how it's got to be done. He was by the book, but very creative.
Well, he practiced. He's an expert at practice. You know, they say practice makes perfect, but there's a flaw in that. It's perfect practice makes perfect. And Tim would practice perfectly to execute perfectly.
It's a big difference.
Yeah.
And the joke we always used to have about Tim was that he'd call you in the middle of the night and say, I have the alphabet down to 5 letters. Because he was all about eliminating moves. And, so he was so thrilled, he'd call you in the middle of the night and go, you know that move where you do that? Well, if you take this out, it looks exactly the same. So he was all about simplifying and getting, and he would take tricks that he had done for 20 years, and he'd call you and say, oh, I just improved this. And you'd go, you're still working on something that you've been doing for 20 years? And he'd go, oh, absolutely. And he never stopped.
Well, the burning question that a lot of people are asking, of course, is when the book is going to be coming out. Did Eric answer that at all?
He said he's hoping 2020.
If we're lucky. And I want to give him a deposit right now. That's how great that book's going to be.
I know it's going to be, yeah. Is it going to be kind of like a Johnny Thompson book, did he say?
It's going to have a lot. Yeah, 2 volumes, and it's going to have a lot of stuff. Tim had a lot of stuff that people didn't know he did. A ton of stuff. And that's what, when you'd be sitting around with him, he'd show you stuff that you'd go, I can't believe this. It's not that good, you know, and it was that good. You know, I mean, he was.
How long did you know Tim?
Oh, my gosh. 40 years?
Yeah. You know, I mean, we both worked with him at trade
shows,
I know.
I probably met him in my 20s, so that would be, 10 years?
Exactly. Well, no,
I met him in my 20s, probably about 20. I saw Tim do his very first trade show ever. He was working for Mitel, and he was doing the...
He actually worked for Mitel.
Right, right. He worked for Mitel. He got him to the trade show. We were in Canada, and he was without a doubt, the most incredible sleight of hand, and it was one of the worst trade show performances I ever saw. He sat down... And he did a trade show in a sitting in a chair position, and he did the Goshman routine and all that. And I talked to him about it, and because he would come over and watch. The next year, we're at the same trade show. He is standing up and he's kicking everybody's butt. He was one of the best trade show workers ever. But I saw him do that very first one ever.
I remember it must have been right after that, because I remember having dinner with him and Eddie Tulloch.
Oh, yeah.
And Eddie Tulloch taught him about how to get a crowd up at a trade show. And it was really... I mean, Eddie Tulloch was...
The master.
Was the master. Yeah. Yeah. And so it was definitely amazing. And, yeah, you asked how long I knew Tim. I knew him literally for, you know, I mean, we were my company. I mean, he was pretty much exclusive with us for 20 years. I mean, we booked him.
How many people do you have in your stable at the peak?
Well, now. It's right now.
Which is about how many people?
Probably about 15 or so.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's...
I guess I was thinking of trade show magicians versus other kinds.
We do very few trade shows.
Now. But you used to.
Ever. No.
Oh, really?
We've always been major sales meetings and after-dinner events and hosting meetings and major corporate events. We do a few trade shows a year, but...
So what about your book? I'm curious about what printing it's into and how many you've sold of that. What's the title again?
Astonishing Executive.
Secrets of the Astonishing Executive, written with Paul Harris.
Yeah.
We're in our third printing of that, and we've updated it. And then the other one is a book written for magicians called Leave Your Ego at the Door.
Okay. I think
which is... Yeah. So... I think Penguin does have it. I did a lecture for Penguin, but yeah.
No. Oh. The publisher is Penguin Books. Who was your publisher?
For Secrets of the Astonishing Executive, Avon Books.
Avon.
Yeah.
Avon is a Penguin label.
No, it's a Random House.
A Random House label.
Yeah.
Which is now owned by Penguin.
You know more about than I do. I don't know.
No, that
you publish
be,
a lot of books.
That could
also,
be wrong.
Though,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I have no idea. Yeah. But. So everybody always thought we did a ton of trade shows, and we never did.
So when you represent people, how do you go about vetting people?
It's basically, we've worked hard to, you know, do a lot in the corporate market, and they come to us and say, you know, will you market me and advertise me? And, you know, if I think there's, you know, really room where we can help them grow.
Yeah.
Then we'll say yes. If we don't think it's no, it doesn't. I mean, we book a ton of people. We do about 400 events a year, and we book a lot of people who aren't exclusive with us also. But our main concern is, you know, our Michael Carbonaro and Matt King and David Williamson and Derek Hughes and Ben Seidman and Copperfield and John Stetson and Chad Long. And I mean, these are some, and a thing called Digital Deception, which is really great, which is Ryan Oakes and Doug McKenzie, and they're doing they're doing great, and so all sorts of things like that. Yeah.
Changing subject for a minute, since we are here at the Magic Cuba, tell me about you were involved with the inception of this, weren't you?
Yes, I was with the organization, but just not in a financial
tangentially.
I helped arrange for all the entertainment and called people and said, "Hey, you want to come?" And everybody was like, yeah, you bet I do. So it just... But John Rose is the real brains behind the organization. It's really his baby. I've just helped out.
How have you think this has been going so far? How have you been enjoying it? What have you been hearing from other people?
Having a great time. It's a great group of people that are here. I mean, the attendees, you know.
About how many are here?
I would guess 150 or so.
That's what I heard, about 150.
And, you know, this is Cuba. You have to flow. You know, I mean, as soon as somebody says it's no problem, it's a big problem, you know. Matt Green, who is doing the tech advising, his wireless mics are still in customs. You know, I mean, just... But I had warned every performer that, you know, this is commando performance. There might be a spot that works, and there might not.
Well, last night was a good example of that during the cigar and rum dinner, that it ran about 3 hours late. You know, we were in no hurry. That was fine, but I know they had other performers who were planning
on... Keep giving them rum. They're going to be happy.
But they were planning on having some magicians performing more tricks and more people, and they cut it short because it was getting close to midnight.
Because it was close to midnight, and, you know, you just... As, you know, everything is... You got to be a commando performer, basically. And it's kind of fun. I mean, and everybody's in that boat. You know, you just don't. I was two of the acts that we were supposed to have today for the close up didn't show. I grabbed a deck of cards and away we. You know, I mean, it,
What is it you're looking forward to? I mean, things you may have been involved with or you know that's going to be coming up that's it's like somebody or something you want to see or do?
It's like every convention in the world. It's all about the hang, the people that, you know, I mean, these are all friends.
Sure.
So that's the fun part, is to me, is having long, leisurely conversations.
And that's a great thing about this one, because it is so intimate. You can have longer. Like Shep and I were talking a lot today. Say, man, I wish we hung out together more. Well, we don't, you know, we get time now.
And, you know, for people who aren't, or, you know, I mean, for, you know, somebody came up to me and said, I'm having dinner with Matt King tonight and Mike Haveney, and I'm like, you know, and for us, we do that all the time, but for a lot of people, it's a treat, you know, to, you know, or sit there and trade moves with Ossie Wind or whoever it might be, or...
And you're not in a huge crowd.
No, it's, I mean... No, let's go have a drink and let me show you this. And right. Steve Godolphin, and, you know, I mean, it's a great group of performers and a great group of people.
You think they're ever going to be having this again?
It's not my call. It's John Rose's call.
I know. I just don't see how they can, you know, replicate this experience. They can bring it back to Cuba, but for this group of people and everything that's happening
yeah,
here.
That won't happen, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, this was everybody's... I remember calling...
On their bucket list.
Yeah. I remember calling Mike Caveney and Tina Leonard and saying, you want to come? And I mean, it was like, before I could finish getting it out, they were like, we're in.
Yeah.
Mike Caveney is actually getting an award after this, a collector's award, and he actually moved it to
the Yankee later. Gathering?
Yeah.
Okay.
They moved the Yankee Gathering a week because Mike wanted to come to Cuba.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's, you know, I mean, it's... It's been fun. It's got its challenge. I mean, not for John Rose. I'm genuflecting every time I go by him because
he's going through a lot.
I put on with Matt King. I put on the Louisville Magic Festival, and that was a ton of work.
Yeah, with Lance, right? Didn't Lance involved?
Yeah, and everything worked there. You know, that was, you know.
And the city was kind of co-sponsoring that too, didn't they?
They didn't co-sponsor, but they were very helpful. You know, the mayor, we made the mayor magically appear and stuff like that.
Big word. But you know what's cool about it? And I see this here. It's public performances, not just for magicians. So you get to see the magic people do it in a real...
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that was interesting is I thought, like today, a few of the guys were performing for kids in the public squares, and watching them was so much fun, watching the kids freak out, you know, not knowing that they're watching magicians who are, you know, famous in the U.S. or famous in England or whatever. And just having
it,
yeah, the kids couldn't care less. They were having the best time ever, you know.
That's right.
So,
well, they turned out the lights and we're moving the bus and we're kind of on our way. So I will kind of say wrap it up. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. That was Bill Hurst and Shep Hyken for the Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty Young.
Magic Cuba. Magic Cuba, yeah.
All right, continuing on the bus a little bit longer here, that you might remember that on, maybe you didn't, on the first day I talked with Chris Korn, and what did you think today about what you did? You were involved, you were actually performing today.
Yeah, over at the local brewery.
How was the beer? First question.
Didn't have any of the beer. I didn't. I only had a cafe.
Well, being a foodie, what kind of food did you have?
Lunch was fantastic. I had some lamb. It looked a little bit like a sloppy Joe.
I had some lamb at this other place,
too.
It was excellent. And black beans on rice.
Yeah, right. Shredded. It was really good. That was really tasty. The food was great. I had a virgin mojito, which was excellent. Quite good. And then came back to see Eric Mead's lecture, which was phenomenal, on Tim Conover.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that.
It was the same lecture you gave, I understand, at Magic Live. That's why I didn't go into that.
It was similar, a little bit different. But, it was similar. And then I went and performed over at the brewery this afternoon.
Tell me about that. I mean,
there were a lot of the local magicians there, and they had been performing all day, probably since around 11 a.m. until basically I arrived. And,
which was what time, 2?
Oh, no, I didn't arrive until 5 p.m.
Oh, my gosh.
I was
6 hours?
They were there 6 hours.
Okay.
I went and worked one, yeah. So, but they were fantastic. Really proficient coin magic that I saw. Really, really good. Quite good. So I went around to some of the tables and did a little table hopping, so to speak. Very well
cards,
received.
Cards, what all did you do?
I did mostly coins and a couple of card things, but yeah, audiences have been really receptive, really warm, really fun. So far, good, 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 and tonight we're in for a treat, right?
We are. They're dropping us off at different restaurants along the way, and because it's well, I say it's such a large group, 150 of us, but we have, what, 6 different restaurants, I think, we're divided among these different places, so that way we're not inundating them all. And the place we're going, as I understand, is a private restaurant, or something. Is that what she said?
Yes, a private restaurant. Yeah, so that means it's not owned by the government.
Oh, is that what it means?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
From what I understand.
So the people can keep the money and the profits, and they're responsible.
Yeah, it's a private. Yeah, it's run a little bit differently, I guess, is what was expressed.
This place that we just dropped off some people is where we're supposed to be going Saturday night, which I understand is supposed to be the best restaurant in Nevada.
That is true, yes. I don't remember the name.
Guadalajara or something.
Yeah.
Did you do some research on what?
Yeah, I did some research checking out, and we're going to at least two of the best restaurants.
I want to sit next to you. I always do, but I want so we can talk about food.
Yes, we can make that happen, probably.
Okay. So tonight after this, then we're supposed to go see a stage show. Then I think with
Ossie Wins.
Yeah. Ossie's tomorrow night, is it? I think tonight.
Oh no, tonight. He's
okay.
Tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the reason I thought so is because that Mike Cave, Nantina, and Jade were in our group. We were walking around and they had to boogie early because they said we've got band call, we got rehearsal, you know. And so I thought that meant they were on tonight. So I must be.
Maybe. You never know. There's lots of surprises
well,
here.
Well, that's what magic's all about.
Absolutely. Right. Lots of surprises.
And we'll then afterwards, there'll be some still late night magic at midnight that's scheduled. So.
Oh, excellent.
A lot of stuff still going on.
Good. Good, good.
Are you performing into midnight magic?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, you are tonight.
I might be. Yeah, that's the surprise. Surprise, you're on.
All right.
That's where you make a plantain disappear, if you know what I mean.
After midnight.
And that'll be enough out of Shep.
Yeah, that's right. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Shep.
No, that was Brock Smith. Who is Brock Smith?
And Chris Korn. And
yes.
Scotty
out.
Magic Cuba. Magic Cuba,
Well, we just finished a wonderful dinner, and the groups were broken up into two or three or four, I think, different restaurants we went around. And it was fun. Each of us have a different kind of a ticket. I'm in a Thurston group, and there's a Houdini group and a Keller group, I believe, then also. And anyhow, and they say the show's about to commence, but I don't know that they're really truthful about that. That means it's supposed to start at 9 o'clock, and it's right now 9:15. So anyhow, that one of the shows last night that was starting about midnight featured some local magicians as well as an American magician. And I've got Alex Boyce with me right now. Hey, Alex.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing there?
Fantastic. So tell me, how did it go last night? What was your experience like?
I enjoyed it, but it was one of the most unusual performing experiences of my life. We pick up later.
Well, sorry, we had to stop there for just a moment, and we just saw a show then by Ossie Wynn, which was awesome, wasn't it?
Amazing as always.
Yeah, had some good mentalism things. So, tell me about, Alex, you were saying about last night.
Right, so we performed in this local cabaret called Salon Rojo, and there was all these Cuban magicians and myself, and so it was interesting because they work as a team, and I was just...
With illusions and stuff,
with
right?
Big illusions,
yeah.
And it's amazing, you know, they have to, just to build a sub-trunk, they have to buy all the wood on the black market, and all the paint,
yeah.
And just to build something very simple, it takes months of work and, you know, kind of bending the laws and the rules to something that we would take for granted, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, the show, their style is very, what we were seeing I'm very interested in the history of magic and, yeah. You know, what was like happening at magic competitions in the 1970s was what their show was. But their passion and enthusiasm was very infectious and they worked so hard to do that.
And for just 16 people or 20 in the audience?
It was a very strikingly small audience. And it was something else. You know, for me, it was kind of bizarre because I've never done anything like that before. I wasn't doing their show. I just came out and did my act.
You do a dove routine.
Yeah, I did a dove routine, and you know, I had a nice time with it, and it was fun, and you know, I'm just having such a great time. And like, this is one of the most it's not like a magic convention.
No, it's not.
This is like something else entirely different. It is, I'm having a great time. My family's here. We're just like you said, the dinner, like we're just getting around, everybody's sitting around the table and like having a great time.
Right.
And to just go out and do magic for the people is like, it was a pleasure, even if it was a really small audience. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, also, I'm 22. I just got to perform in Havana. I'm thrilled. Like, it's going on the resume.
Yeah, it's on the top. Right.
That's
now.
Right.
Yeah, it moves up there. Now, what about moving or getting doves across over here? Did you have to go through quarantine? Or
No. So that was something. When they asked me to perform, a lot of my work in New York is doing like, you know, your corporate private events, but also like I do a lot of theatrical nightclubs and cabarets, things like that. And I do a bird act there. And I looked at the lineup. No one was doing anything like that. And so I wondered if I could coordinate some local birds here, then I could do that and doing something that, you know, no one else would be doing here at the convention. Mm-hmm. So I was able to work with some of the local magicians on Facebook and find some birds. And that was a unique experience because I'm just getting to know the birds as we're on stage. And that was totally bizarre.
Yeah.
And that was like,
who made you work with?
I usually do 5 birds.
Okay.
And my birds at home are Airplane Uno, Jake Cameron, Benny, and Airplane. So there's a stunt double.
Stunt double.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, we live in Brooklyn, and the birds and I, we have a great time, and I'm just very grateful to all the, you know, amazing producers and magicians who keep sending me work.
There are not a lot of dove workers that are out there today.
I'm really lucky. I have been just, I feel like, taught by some of the best, you know, Johnny Thompson and others, I take the mantle very seriously, but at the end of the day, we're just having a good time performing, and that's what it's all about.
How long is it? A 12-minute act? Or?
Yeah, it's customizable, so usually in New York, I'm doing a 10-minute act.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're getting ready to go on, typically dove workers go on first because you got to get loaded.
If you're like actually working, like, you know, I have to say I'm really lucky that I'm like actually going out there and performing a lot, you know, multiple times a week, not just the bird act, but... I do a lot of close-up shows and a lot of like full 45-minute shows, and so you can't just come into a venue and say like I've got to be the opening act.
Right.
A lot of times I'm on variety shows or, you know, after dinner and entertainment, other stuff, and so I've just found a way to be very adaptable. For me, it's not so important to be first as it is just to know the 10 minutes leading up, we're gonna have a hard 10. Just say no matter what's going on, if you can tell me where I'm going on in 10. Then I'm good.
Yeah,
make it work. But that's, you know, the fun. I enjoy the work, like, you know, and I've been able to do a lot of it here, which is just like go out, you do really hard hitting close up magic, have some fun. Those people become part of your team, and and then you get up on stage and do an act like that, and they've never seen anything like it before.
Are you going to be doing it again while you're here, or just
I think the birds I'm done with. I think they've got. I'm doing more like close up magic and things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested in. Classic close-up magic, and really just positioning it, believing it, conviction. You take it to a whole new level, and it's a lot. You know what Vernon did, and old Miller kind of down that line.
Right, right. And so you're having a great time.
I'm trying to find what to say because I know people listen to this. I listen to this, and when I've listened to the convention reports before. I felt like having gone to magic conventions, I've had a sense of what was going on.
Yeah, feel like you're there.
Feel like I'm there.
So what would you say to people who aren't here?
You know, good luck. You're not going to get a sense of this thing. This is totally different than anything I've been to before. Basically, everybody's staying at this like really... Well, here's the thing. It's all trickle down, right? So you've got Cuba, which is like a mess. And then you've got Havana, which is a mess. And so then, of course, like... This becomes, it all trickles down. So, like, nothing is on time and nothing moves. But if that happened at a regular magic convention, you hear people
so upset. Yeah.
This is, everybody's on the same page that we're just having a great time.
Yeah. Americans expecting to be on time, but down here, it's not.
No, this is a totally different, right. It's a different vibe. And the other thing is because it's like the way the Tannish Jubilee was before, it's all inclusive. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows, end of the day, everything's going to happen.
Yeah.
We're just going to move at a certain pace.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So It's something.
Which
else.
Is pretty cool. Of course, all the meals, and this is not just hot dogs and hamburgers and hors d'oeuvres and cheese.
No, that dinner was just that was actually really spectacular.
I had lobster last night. I had lobster tonight.
Yeah, it's awesome. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's been really food's been spectacular, and the people of Cuba are just like, I had dinner with the magicians before the show last night, and they were just like, they know how hard it is for them. Like mm-hmm. it was interesting because never lived anywhere else, but they have a self-awareness of how difficult their lives are.
Yeah.
The guys I did the show with last night, basically there's a resort town, I don't remember the name, somewhere in Cuba, where there's about 60 hotels all lined up next to each other.
Yeah.
And they have this big illusion show. They're all, imagine like, it's all the stuff that Abbott's was, not that Abbott's actually built the stuff, but it's Abbott's style illusions.
Yeah. Yeah.
That were being built like 40 years ago. They truck everything from hotel to hotel every day, and they do a different hotel every night. So every day, seven days a week, do a thing, move, do a thing, move. That's it. So it's impressive, and they work
tough.
Really hard.
Yeah,
it's a hard life.
Well, I guess we probably ought to get on the bus, or we're going to miss our ride. So Alex, thanks a lot. That's right. There's some more magic. We're going to go see something else, and they got magic still at midnight.
Late night magic. Here we go.
Over here in Cuba. So, for the Magic Word Podcast, I was Alex Boyce. Scotty Young.